2. Verses 12 to 14. Psalms 92. Verses 12 to 14. Are you there with God's word? Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody awake in the house of God? Amen. Psalms 92, verses 12 to 14.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen. I want to title the message, How to Grow What You Have. How to grow what you have. Look at somebody and say, God's word is going to teach us how to grow what we have. Amen. Anybody want to see growth in their lives? Amen. When you read this scripture, it says here, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. When you look into the scripture, I like that word. They will still be bearing fruit and they will be fresh and flourishing. We enjoy life in our youth. But as the years go by, and as you think you're beginning to get old, you actually begin to think your best years are behind you. But when you look into God's word, it says something opposite. It says here, from God's word, the best years, when you're getting old, is still ahead of you. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you study God's word, life becomes better as you grow older. It's true that we need to take care of our body a little bit. We know that, you know, we have to, you know, take care of a lot of things in a different way. There is a normal wear and tear for our body. But when you study God's word, the end of a believer, a Christian, a person who is righteous by the blood of Jesus, is much more sweeter than his beginning. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, as you grow older, you're going to get better. You're going to get better as you grow older. Some of you will really want to grow old. You will wish you were 70, 80, 90, 100. You know, time and again in the scripture, when you read the first 5 chapters of the Bible speaks about Adam living up to 900 years. Over 900 years. There were men and women of God who lived up to 600 years, 700 years, 900 years, 300 years. But in the 6th chapter, God saw that man's heart was continuously towards evil and shortened his life. And God shortened his life to 120 years. Look at somebody and say 120. God shortened it to 120 years. But sad to say, many people don't even live half of it. Many people don't even have a thought that God can actually give them life over 60 or 70 or 80. And many a person and many a believer, a pastor would quote the scripture where Moses said in Psalms 90, Manishinde jeevitham erakudiya 70 80 adu Moshe paranjathu devam paranjathu. I would rather believe what God has said. Are you with me? God said when he shortened man's life, God said it shall be 120 years old. Wow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God said it shall be 120 years old. The very Moses who wrote Psalm 91 when he was going through a depression, when one of his siblings died, went on to live for 120. Look at scriptures. You will find Abraham lived after God said 175 years. Sarah lived 127 years. Isaac lived 180 years. Joseph lived 110 years. Jacob lived 130 years. And when he was about to die, he said, man's life is few, and just a few days. After 130, he said, just a few days. Can you imagine that? How many of you would like God to give you long life, healthy, flourishing, fruitful, blessed, long life in Jesus Christ, where you can declare the glory of God? Lift your hand and give a shout to Jesus today. Say that blessing is for me. Amen. Well, it is true that I'm not saying everybody will live just because you are a believer. 51% of your diseases, doctors would say, are lifestyle related. God's word has promised you long life. But many a disease in your life is lifestyle related. It's got to do with your eating habit. It's got to do with your sleeping habit. I was reading an interesting article which said, a major cause of disease in the body of a person is because of stress. You got to know how to chill. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, learn to chill. Learn to chill. You got to know how to chill. Chill in Christ. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Some of you are so serious, so kind of, you know, it looks as if you are in control over your life and you've got the whole world in your hands. But you got to just let go and relax and learn to just breathe easy and sing a song and just have a smile on your face and go enjoy a nice ice cream, or just go for a run, or go for a walk, or have a good time with your family, or go for a swim, or, you know, do something nice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't carry all the tension within you. Don't carry all the stress within you. Learn to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Now this evening, I want to teach you something from God's word on how to grow what God has given you, even if it be your life, whatever, how to grow it. Anybody interested? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Open with me to one more scripture, Proverbs chapter 27. Everybody say Proverbs chapter 27. Verses 27th chapter, verses 23 to 27.
Be diligent to know the state of your flocks.
Be diligent to know the state of your flocks.
And attend to your herds.
And attend unto thy herds.
For riches are not forever.
For riches are not forever.
Nor does a crown endure to all generations.
Nor does a crown endure for every generation. That's enough. We can read the rest of it later because we have a little bit of time shortage. It says here, three components. One is, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Open your mouth and say, flocks and herds. Say that again, flocks and herds. The second thing that is mentioned there is riches. Open your mouth and say, riches. Say that again, riches. The third thing that is mentioned, the third component in the scripture is crown. Say crown. Say crown. Amen. Flocks and herds is your capacity to produce. I'm saying that again. Flocks and herds is your capacity to produce. Say that again with me together. 1, 2, 3, 4. Flocks and herds is your capacity to produce. Amen. Riches. Riches is equal to your possessions. Say that with me. Riches is equal to your possessions. Crown is equal to a privilege. Say that with me. Crown is equal to a privilege. Amen. Something that we aspire in life. When your effort is crowned, you say, I'm glad my effort was crowned. Are you with me? So there is three components in that scripture. There is possessions. There is riches, which is possession. There is flocks and herds, which is your capacity to produce. And there is crown, which is your privilege. Now with that in mind, read that scripture one more time. Be thou diligent to know your capacity to produce. For possessions are not forever. And the crown or the privilege, does not endure to every generation. Did you find that? Did you find that? With the words that I said, look at it again. That is the RSV version, the Rajay Standard Version. It says here, be thou diligent to know your capacity to produce, for your possessions, know your privileges are forever. Your possessions could mean your money, everything that you have accumulated in life. Your possessions and your riches or your privileges are not forever, the Bible says. But look after your production capacity. Everything that you enjoy in life, someone or something has made it possible for you. Are you with me? Somebody has produced that for your life. So the Bible is saying, take heed or give attention to that something or someone that is producing into your life. Don't be so fascinated by your privilege and by your possessions that you lose sight of that which is producing into your life. Did you get it? Are you with me? Still, give me a nice good smile. If you understood that, lift your hand and say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. For example, your salvation. Jesus produced it. Are you with me? You cannot produce your salvation. Jesus produced it 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all. He produced it. Aren't you glad that Jesus produced the way for you to be saved, that you don't need to do anything but to believe in the finished work of Christ, and you're automatically transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you look at life in general terms, whether it be money, whether it be, you know, just an example, you imagine your car. You got a car. You never maintain your car. Don't service it. You're just enjoying the car. You have just the privilege, the possession of your car. A moment of glory when you were able to buy that, you know, Mercedes S-Class or E-Class or whatever, and you're driving it around. You're enjoying it. But you don't maintain it. You don't service it. You don't look after it. You're just fascinated by the speed and you're just moving around. Let me tell you, in due time, you will be stuck on the road somewhere. Because you didn't change the oil, or check the tires, or put gas or petrol inside the tank. You didn't take care of the production capacity of that car. Are you with me? Or look at your marriage. If you don't invest anything into marriage, and you're always expecting something, some privilege. Your wife is making you that omelette every day morning. It looks like a burnt offering, but at least she's getting you an omelette. Every day there is privileges that you enjoy in family. Your husband is bringing you the money. You go shopping. You enjoy that crowning glory when you're able to buy something with this ATM card. So you're receiving all the privilege, but if you don't invest anything into it, it will stop producing. Your food, your love, everything, after some time, your marriage will be kind of stuck. There is no more enjoyment, there is no more romance, there is no more life in that marriage. Just going through the motions. You're married because you're married. Why? Because you didn't invest anything into it. You're just reaping the blessing of it. Well, I can travel around the world. I can do this. I can do that. You know, the house is clean. The food is paid for. I can, you know, do this. I mean, a lot of privileges. Or you look at business. You're always taking money out of your business, but you never put anything into business. Are you with me? You are not taking care of that which is on the earth producing for you. So after some time, you don't understand why the business is not doing well. What are you investing into business? There are things in life that are permanent, there are things that are not permanent. Privileges are not permanent. Are you with me? possessions are not permanent. If you need to grow what God has given you, if you need to enjoy the blessing of God, you need to take care of the production capacity in your life. It is so easy to forget when you're enjoying something in life where you got it from. You come to church, you see, you come to church, you sit here, you like hearing the word, you like worshiping the Lord, you like, you know, dancing under the Lord, that's good. But there is a system that is producing it. Definitely God, but God in heaven is doing it through fragile human vessels on planet earth. Are you with me? How many of you getting what I'm saying? Are you still with me today? I mean, how many of you know that yesterday even in the church did not just, I mean, the chairs did not just fall in line like this. Somebody was there putting those chairs. Somebody was there cleaning up this place. Somebody was there cleaning up those bathrooms. You come into a place like this, somebody is making sure the parking facility is there. The garden looks wonderful. Somebody is making sure the electricity bill is paid for. The lights are functioning. The sound system is working. Are you with me? Somebody struggled in prayer through the night to make sure the worship is enlightening and, you know, full of life and full of God's presence and glory. Somebody is doing, somebody is producing something behind the scene. Somebody is coming forth and preparing the word, traveling in the spirit, praying for you, studying the scripture. Billy Graham, they did a test on Billy Graham's body. And they realized that, I don't know how they did the test, but they realized if he preached a 45-minute message, it was the same energy that was spent out of his body that takes a man 8 hours while he's digging a ditch. That's the amount of energy. I mean, pastors just can't come like this and, you know, I come in the morning, I'm preaching in the first service. Most of the nights, just half awake, praying through for the congregation. You come and stand, then I'm backstage praying for people till the second service. And then you walk in and you're preaching again. And by the time, most of the time you reach back home, I can't even wash my face. I'm so tired, I just want to just fall down and just sleep. Most of the time I even have my bath by Monday afternoon. Because your body is that exhausted. And what I'm saying is, whether it be ministry, Jesus is the one who paid for your salvation. Jesus is the one who calls you into ministry. But how did he do it? Don't tell me an angel from God came and ministered the word to you. Some preacher preached the word. The angel came to the house of Peter. I mean, Simon the Tanner, and told Peter, go and preach the gospel in the house of Cornelius. The angel didn't go and preach. Peter had to get up. He had to go forth and preach. Are you with me? The same way when you're called into ministry, God calls you through a human being. It might be through the local church. He calls you and he places you in his body. Don't so get fascinated by my calling, my life, and then you forget who are the ones whom God used, who are responsible for God channeling out that blessing. Oh, come on, church. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. So there is an interesting story by the Greek slave. You studied it or you read it when you were a youngster. I don't know how his name is pronounced, but Aesop, the Greek slave, A-S-S-O-P, Aesop. We know the story. We have learned it. The goose and the golden egg. You studied the, you read the book? You read the short story? The goose and the golden egg. You remember the story? How many of you remember the story? Every day morning, the goose would lay a golden egg. Every day morning. One day this guy took this golden egg, checked it out at Bima. Said, is this pure gold? He said, pure gold. Not sure. He went to, which is the other jewelry shop. Where are the girls? Alukas. He went to Alukas and said, is this real gold? Real gold. Fine. Wonderful. So he was happy. He got a golden egg from the goose. This was happening every day. But he became so greedy. He forgot the goose was producing the golden egg. He said, there must be so much of golden eggs inside the goose. If I kill it, I can get all the eggs. And then I can have my holiday in France. I can go to Germany. I can go skiing in Nebraska. I can do this there. I can, you know, buy this. I can do that. And he didn't take care of the production system. Are you with me? He killed the golden goose. goose. Look at somebody and say, don't look at me like a goose. Don't kill the golden goose. Come on. Let's have some fun in the church. Come on. Hallelujah. Don't kill the golden goose. He wanted everything together. Golden goose is attractive. Golden eggs are attractive. He was faced with two choices. One is instant gratification. Instant gratification is the pursuit of immediate reward. Immediately. I want it. I want all the gold now. I want it. I want it now. That's immediate gratification. Whatever it is. I want it now. I can't wait to sit. I can't wait for God to bring it through. I want it now. Sometimes people want a financial future. They want to grow something for their future financially. But everything in life, they are immediately gratifying. And they don't have enough to save. There are so many things in your home which you have bought which you are not even using. Are you with me? Because you saw it. Instant gratification. It sounded good. The deal was good. Take 5 TVs for the price of 3. You already got a TV, but it sounds good. Now all the TVs are there and you became born again. And you don't have time to watch TV because you're too busy reading God's word. Lord, give me 5 people like that in the church. Are you with me still? The second is delayed gratification. That means foregoing an immediate reward for a lasting reward. I will wait for it. I want it better. In the Old Testament, we have the story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Esau came and said, I want it now. I want that pudding right now. It doesn't matter how many calories, it looks good. Get me that pudding now. Immediate gratification. Whether it be food, whether it be attention, so many people want attention now. So many people get jaded over the attention that somebody else gets. And they say, I want all the attention now. Money, sex, I want it now. Esau. Everything in life can be delayed. You don't need it all now. But what about Jacob? Jacob delayed gratification. He said, you want the food? I can give you. But I am looking into the future. So you gave me your birthright? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So 5 lessons from the story of the Greek slave, the golden goose, how to grow what you have. The first point. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? When God wants to bless you with a golden egg, He will always give a goose. That's the first point. Look at somebody and say, when God wants to bless you with a golden egg, He will give you a goose. He will give you a goose. Goose is a type of duck. You pray for money, God gives you a job. How many of you ever prayed for money and you went out into the street and there was money lying on the road for you? Anybody like that? You pray for money, God will give you a job. God will give you a relationship. Something that will facilitate the blessing coming into you. Are you with me? God, use me for your glory. God gives you a relationship. Relationship in the church. He says, go submit to the pastor. Be one in the church. Your ministry will flow. But if you say, God, I want to serve you. I want to minister. No. He gives you a goose. I am your goose this afternoon to give you your golden egg. Don't tell somebody, my pastor is a goose. You're looking for a business, God gives you an opportunity. That's your goose. The number two point. God will always give you a familiar goose to lay your golden eggs. In other words, for your golden egg, it'll be from what you already have. Your greatest breakthroughs are always around you. Sometimes your goose can be so familiar, your goose might be actually looking at you. Or you might be actually looking at your goose. It's always near you. Jesus, when he came, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, not far away. Are you with me? He said, listen, you guys are looking for the kingdom of God? It's at hand. The religious people said, what? What are you saying? Jesus came and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near you. Just open your eyes and see me. That's what Jesus is saying. But they said, where? Where's the kingdom of God? You are a carpenter's son, aren't you? Your mother we know, your father we know, your brothers we know, your sisters we know. Third point. To receive a continuous supply of golden eggs, we have to constantly take care of the goose that lays them. Are you with me today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you are sitting as if you're going to lay an egg now. Come on, cheer up. Look up. Lift your hands and give a shout to Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Good, take good care of your channels. Your channels are blessing. Every good blessing, perfect blessing comes from the Father of light. It comes through Jesus. But he does it through an earthly means. Don't get so spiritual in your head that you forget the blessings that have got a place around you in your life. To receive a continuous supply of your golden eggs, you have to constantly take care of the goose. Now, I was looking at it, you know. Kerala is so much blessed with so much a water body. We don't take care of our water body. Are you with me? We don't take care. We want fresh fish. We want blessings from the water. But we're not taking care of the goose. I was sharing the other day with some of the leaders in the church and I told them, you know, for my family is basically a planting family, my, you know, estates. So, and most of the people here, I know that a lot of you have estates and properties. We are all praying that the Kasturangan report will come in our favor. But the other side is, let's take care of nature too, so we can have just not our greed being met. Are you with me? But the blessing that will grow for the generations to come in this land. Don't leave church because of that. Pastor, you're praying that we lose our properties up in Idiki. No. That's not what I'm praying for. I pray that you will have more properties than whoever you had before. But have this stewardship mentality. I need to take care of the nature too, the vegetation too, the greenery too, the goose too. Are you with me still? Some people steal from the very company that gives them wages. They're not taking care of the goose. They're working in a place, they steal from the person there. The fourth point. Don't pay more attention to the golden egg than the goose, because you will eventually lose both. I say that again. Don't give more attention to the golden egg than the goose, because if you do, you will eventually lose both. And I've seen, you know, my spiritual father used to say, he had over 2,000 people in his church, I mean in his ministry. And there were some of them who were very gifted, who were with him, who would carry the same anointing that he carried. And they would also go forth for ministry. And after some time, you know, a couple of them, they said, you know, God has called us, we have a calling, God is going to use us mightily. And so they said, you know, people would come to them and say, would you come home and pray? Would you come to our city and preach or whatever? Slowly, slowly, without even asking, the one whom God had placed above them, they would go forth for ministry. And my spiritual father said, let them go. They're serving the Lord, them go. But he said, if they are not faithful in their hearts, after 6 months they will lose the ministry and the anointing and the gifts. I'm not saying they lose their salvation. What I'm saying is, they forgot the vessels that God was using to connect them through. Suddenly somebody comes and says, hey pastor, here is an offering. Oh, you prayed and you know, goosebumps came through. Suddenly you realize, oh my God, God spoke actually about goose through the pastor, so goosebumps. And then you're giving more attention to the egg. Are you with me? Oh, come on, church. How many of you are learning something today? You have a business. Imagine you have a client who comes regularly and buys stuff from your business. And one day you begin to go for the kill. You know what I mean? You want all the eggs at once. So you hike up the price, give a huge price to that person. You forget, hello, when I was nobody, this person was actually coming and buying from me. And suddenly you forget that you begin to milk your client. And that person might not say anything, but he will say, okay. He stops coming. Because he feels cheated. And what happens? Suddenly you say, where's my business going? What's happening? The last point. Our golden eggs will be given to us by the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Say that with me. Our golden eggs, whatever your blessings, God will give on a day-to-day basis. Not altogether. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies have never come to an end. They are new every morning. Are you with me? Every morning, the grace that is needed for that day, God will give it to you. Every blessing that you need, God will give it to you on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So for you, grow what God has given you, you need to not keep your focus on your possessions. They come and go. That's what the Bible says. Nor on the privileges, but you need to keep your focus on the production capacity. If you want to grow ministry-wise, if you want to grow in the church, if you want to grow in the kingdom, if you want to grow in your business, you want to grow in your relationship, look at the production center. Be grateful. Are you with me? Thank the Lord for that. And you will see a continuous blessing flowing through in your life. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Are you blessed this evening? Hallelujah. Give a shout to Jesus one more time, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's close our eyes in prayer. This evening I want you to just lift your hearts to Him, knowing that He's produced your salvation. The Bible says be thankful to Him, and not only to Him. When you study scriptures, you know that കർത്താവിന്റെ അടുത്ത് മാത്രമല്ല, കർത്താവ് നമ്മളെ നമുക്ക് വേണ്ടി അനുഗ്രഹമായിട്ട് മാറ്റിവെച്ചിരിക്കുന്നവരെ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കുവാനും അവർക്ക് വേണ്ടിയും ദൈവത്തിന് നന്ദി പറയേണ്ട ആവശ്യമുണ്ട്. It's a sign of spiritual maturity.